الله وبركاته.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today إن شاء الله تعالى we are with the chapter الهبات or giving gifts, and we're basically using the book of our Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adwi, Jami' Ahkam Al-Nisa, and we're going to add on as we see to be beneficial, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and by Him is the success. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam has taught us in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Al-Bukhari in his book Adab Al-Mufrad, تهادوا تحابوا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if you give gifts, then you would love one another. If you give gifts to one another, then you would love one another. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the believers in general to give gifts to one another, as this will increase the love between the Muslims. This isn't just for the women, but also for the men, for the believers in general to give gifts to one another, as this will increase the love in our hearts. And we should take this into heavy consideration, as most of the Muslims today, they complain that we aren't united, or that we don't really love one another, or that we're not together. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us how to be united, how to be together, how to love one another. So if we're not giving the gifts to one another, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us, then we would know why we have the problem of not loving one another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam has given us some verdict in relationship to giving gifts and receiving gifts and other aspects around the gifts. And the first point is that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam wants us to give gifts and to accept gifts no matter how small, no matter how small the gift might be. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has told us in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, لَوْ دُعِيتُ إِلَى ذِرَاعٍ أَوْ قُرَاعٍ لَا أَجَبْتُ وَلَا أُهْدِيَ إِلَى ذِرَاعٌ أَوْ قُرَاعٌ لَا قَبِلْتُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if I was called, if I was invited to have a piece of the largest part of the animal or the smallest part of the animal, showing the dira' and the qura', showing that if I knew that there was going to be a big table spread or just a small table spread, if I was invited, I would accept. And if I were given a gift of this large piece of meat or the smallest piece of meat, then I would have accepted it as a gift. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that there's no gift that's too small to accept, and there's no gift too small to give. and that we should accept it no matter how big it is or small it is. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that he would accept it whether it was big or small. And that if you're invited, that you have an invitation, whether you're invited to a big table spread or a small one, whether you're invited to the person in the community with status or the person without status, whether he's wealthy or poor, that we accept the invitations of the Muslims, as this is the right of a Muslim over another Muslim, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith of Imam Muslim, I think it is, حق المسلم على المسلم ستة إذا دعيت إذا دعي أجاب. If he is, and one of them is, the Prophet ﷺ said, the rights of a Muslim over a Muslim are six. And he mentioned among them, if he was invited, he would accept. And this is from the character of the believer, that he doesn't despise the believers or look down on the believers, as this is evil, as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has taught us from the other hadith. حسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. That it is sufficient for a person to be full of evil to despise his brother Muslim. So we accept the gifts, whether it is big or small, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he would do, and he's the finest example for us, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Indeed, you will find in the Messenger of Allah the finest example. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also showed us, emphasizing or re-emphasizing this point from the hadith of Ibn Hibban, من جاءه من أخيه معروف معروف من غير مسألة ولا بإشراف نفس فليقبله ولا يرده فإنما هو رزق ساقه الله إليه. In this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, if something nice comes to you from your brother and you didn't ask him or you didn't encourage him to give it to you, accept it from him and don't refuse it, because indeed it is only some provisions that Allah has given to you. So here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam is showing us that if our brother, or as today's class is for the sisters, if a sister comes to give you a gift, then you should accept that gift and not to refuse it, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands, I command you to accept it and I prohibit you from turning it down. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is showing us that a part of accepting these gifts, accepting the gift, to accept the gift and not to refuse them, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is telling us. Okay, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa salam, he added something onto that, and this is from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل الهدية ويصيب عليها. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to accept gifts and he used to return them or compensate the person for giving them a gift. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is teaching us from his beautiful character and his fine example that if someone gives you a gift, that you should give them back a gift in return. As this was a character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that not only would he accept the gift, but he would give gifts in return, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is a part of the verdict of gifts, that if someone gives us a gift, we should try to give them a gift back in return. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he taught us that if we had given a gift to someone, then not to take that gift back. As he says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from the hadith of Abu Dawood, لا يحل لرجل أن يعطي عطية أو يهب هبة فيرجع فيها إلا الوالد فيما يعطي لولده. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for a man to give a gift and then take it back except a father giving a gift to his child, then it is permissible for him to take it back. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prohibiting us from being Indian givers, by giving someone a gift, and then if we think that the person isn't deserving of it, or that we change our mind, we get in an argument or whatever, to take that gift back, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has not made this permissible except in the case where a father or a parent gives the child a gift, then the parent has the right to take it back and there's no harm in it, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has said it's permissible. And here we see a point that Indian giving in general, from the way we know it in our society, it's all bad. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam showed us that it is bad, except in this case, it's okay and it's not to be looked down or frowned upon, and that is if a parent gives the child a gift, his or her child a gift, and then takes it back, that there's nothing against it. And we should teach our children that they don't have a right to call us Indian givers, that this goes for everyone except the parent and the child. And we have to teach our children and to raise our children on Islam so that they have the values that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has set for us, and not just the values of the society, as sometimes the values of Islam differ from the values that we learn from this society. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is establishing for us that if you give a gift, that it's not permissible to take it back, except if a parent gives the child a gift, then it's permissible to take it back from that child, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made permissible. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in this next narration of Imam al-Bukhari shows the evil of taking the gift back, as he says, Al-A'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi yaqi'u thumma ya'udu fi qiyatihi fi qay'ihi fi qay'ihi fi qay'ihi aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who takes back a gift after he has given it to someone is like a dog who throws up and then goes back to what he threw up to eat. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to use harsh words in order to discourage us from doing that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us. And this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that oftentimes he doesn't only prohibit us from doing something, but he also frightens us from doing that thing, or showing us the evil of doing that thing, as at times from our nature it seems that we want to know, well, why we can't do that. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example, because you're like a dog who throws up and then goes back to it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this from our character, if it's a part of our character. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he commanded us to be just among our children when we give them gifts. As he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the narration of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, اتقوا الله وعدلوا بين أولادكم. I command you to fear Allah and to be just among your children, meaning in giving them gifts. To be just among your children when you're giving them gifts, meaning you shouldn't always give one over the other a gift, but you should try to be just or equal between your children and giving them things. If you buy this one a shirt, that one, and also that one. If you buy this one a gift, to buy that one a gift, and so on, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in this narration. And also we see in the other narration of Imam Muslim that the Messenger of Allah sallam had made another statement, and I'm going to bring the story where the Prophet sallam had made the statement from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat imra'atun qalat imra'atu bashirin in hallabani ghulaman wa ashhid li rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن ابنة فلان سألتني أن أنحل ابنها غلامي فقال له إخوة قال نعم قال فقل لهم أعطيت مثل ما أعطيته قال لا قال فليس يصلح هذا وإني لا أشهد إلا على حق. And this is the narration of Imam Muslim, where the lady said, I got one of my children a gift. And I want the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bear witness I gave my child such and such. So they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that such and such of a lady questioned me about giving her child a gift. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, does he have brothers? So they said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you give all of them like you gave this one? So he said, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this isn't right. And never will I, or I will not bear witness except for the truth. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm not going to bear witness to that falsehood of giving one child a gift without giving the other child a gift also. So we see from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to giving our children gifts, that we give all of them gifts and not one of them in opposition to the other. Well, I'm going to give you another one later. Or I'm going to give you another one later. We should try to budget our money out in a manner that we can give all of them a gift at the same time, as this is justice. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the first narration that we mentioned, اتقوا الله وعدلوا بين أولادكم, as he said at the end, I command you to fear Allah and to be just between your children, meaning giving all of them gifts, as this is justice between our children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is just a personal outlook. As I taught the Muslim children, alhamdulillah, in the Muslim school, and for sure we have a behavioral problem with many of our Muslim children. And maybe some of the problem is that we don't treat our children justly ourselves. And the result of the way we treat our children is this behavior of the children. Maybe we're not giving our children gifts, all of them equally, and that because of that, this could be a result of bad behavior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I was just trying to share that we should be looking at all of the reasons or the possible reasons why our children aren't behaving like Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam and allowed us, alhamdulillah, to change our lives. Why aren't our children doing better than us and their character? Maybe it's still flaws in our character, and maybe this could be one of them, but we should check as parents what our problems are and are contributing to the behavior of the children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us who to give gifts to first, and then second, and then onward. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her statement, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ لِي جَارَيْنِ فَإِلَىٰ أَيِّهِمَا أُهْدِيَ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِهِمَا مِنْكَ بَابًا. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, I have two neighbors. Which one should I give gifts to? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should give the gift to the one who is closest to you. The one whose door is closest to your door, then you should give them gifts first. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to give the gift to the people who are closest to us and then work our way outward. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that we should give our gifts to the people that are closest to us, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then work our way out when we're giving gifts. That which would stem from this question is, if our closest neighbor is a kafir, are you saying that we should give the gift to the kafir? We're saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith of Abu Dawood on the authority of Iyad ibn Hima radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, قَالَ أُهْدِيتُ لِلنَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَاقَةً فقال أسلمت فقلت لا فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إني نهي زبد الشكين. This is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic. وعياد بن حمار and I said رضي الله تعالى عنه, and Allah knows best, because I can't remember did he accept Islam or not. At any rate, he said, I gave the Messenger of Allah, I gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a she camel as a gift. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, did you accept Islam? I said, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been prohibited to accept the gift of the disbelievers, of the mushrikeen. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the flip side of the story, that if the mushriks give you gifts, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he was prohibited to give those gifts. We're going to go into some detail on that. I just wanted to make this side point. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you accept Islam? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been prohibited to accept gifts from the mushrikeen, from the disbelievers or the polytheists or the idolaters or whatever you translate mushrikeen as. And here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to those who have not accepted Islam yet to be mushrikeen. And this is how we view the people who have not accepted Islam. You're a Muslim or a mushrik. You've accepted Islam or you haven't accepted Islam, as we see from the language of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here the ulama, they understand this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have been prohibited from accepting the gift of the mushrik. They understand this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in light of the many hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet accepted gifts from the disbelievers, as he accepted from the different kings, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them to Islam if they didn't accept Islam or what have you, that they sent gifts back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepted those gifts, and there are too many hadith to mention. The ulama say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would accept the gift of a mushrik, a person who is not a Muslim, if the Prophet thought that this would help that person accept Islam. That the Prophet would accept the gift of the mushrik if he thought it would bring him closer to Islam. And if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam thought that that person wasn't going to accept Islam, or that the acceptance of this gift wouldn't bring that person close to Islam, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not accept the gift, as in this situation it wouldn't be permissible to accept this, to accept the gift. So here we see that if, and this is from the wisdom of Islam and from the guidance of Islam, that Islam, alhamdulillah, it takes into consideration the circumstances and the situation. And that we should take these things into consideration when we're calling someone to Islam. That if it seems like someone doesn't want to accept Islam, that they're refusing what we're saying, that they want to argue, that they want to debate, cut it off. If it seems like they want to work with you, they want to listen to you, it seems like they're interested in Islam, then you work with them a little more according to how that person is responding. As we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accepting gifts here on one hand, as the ulama is saying, inshallah, in order to soften their hearts to accept Islam, because it looks like there's a chance. And then on the other hand, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked the person, did you accept Islam, he said, no. No, I ain't accepting Islam. And this is a statement that the Muslims ask the people. Did you accept Islam yet? Do you want to accept Islam? If they say, you know, I've been thinking about it, or I want to know more about it, or something like that, then we work with them. If they say, no, I ain't accept Islam, I got my own religion. Like some mushriks who came up here today, they wanted to talk about some building contractors or whatever. And we asked them, they said, yeah, I like the way you are, you know, respect the family and stuff. We're just like that. I said, you're Muslim? He said, no. I said, well, do you want to become a Muslim? He said, no, I'm already safe. I said, no, you're sorry, bye. Because there's no more talk. The person, he doesn't want to show any inclination for this deen. You know, we're inviting him, smiling, yeah, mashallah, you Muslim? No, not. Well, are you thinking about being a Muslim? No, I'm already safe. I'm already saved. You're not saved, you're sorry. Because you didn't embrace Islam, we're making the salat, and he's running away like the shaitan runs away when the adhan is being called. The believers are coming to the masjid, and the disbelievers are going in the opposite way. And here each person has to use his own or her own discretion with the disbelievers in regards to, firstly, the accepting of the gift according to how much the person is coming to Islam is going to be how much we're going to accept. According to how much they don't want to accept Islam, how much we're going to reject it. And the same thing, inshallah ta'ala, on giving gifts. If we think that it might bring them closer to Islam, to give them a gift, give them a gift. If we don't think that it's going to help to bring them closer, as you might know your neighbor or the people you work with or what have you, that you spoke about Islam, you tried a little something, and the person seems to be convinced that kufr is the way for him, then you don't have to give them anything. Rather, it's going to be prohibited to accept and inshallah to give if you think that the person doesn't have a chance to accept Islam. And those people who it seems that it's not likely that they're going to accept Islam are the people who are harsh against Islam. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide whoever He pleases, even the people who may in the beginning be harsh against Islam, or appear to be harsh against Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Then the Shaykh Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah, he comes to the chapter, and this is more direct, more directly related to the women, but gifts in general are related to the women. And then in specific, the chapter that the Shaykh brings, Hibatul Mar'ati li Zawjiha, a lady giving a gift to her husband. And then the Shaykh brings the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 4, فَإِن طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَقُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and if the women like to give you back any of the dowry as a gift, then take it and enjoy it in a pleasing halal manner and not haram. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let's back up and quote the rest of that ayah from Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that it is permissible for a lady to give a gift to her husband, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and we'll read the beginning of this verse, وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً. And I command the men to give the women their sadaq, their mahar, their dowry as a gift. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the men who want to marry women, that they have to give them the sadaq or the mahar or what we call the dowry. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the men to give to the women as a gift. Then for the women, if they would like, out of the kindness of themselves, to give that dowry back to the man as a gift, then the man should accept it or can accept it, and to use it in a halal manner and not a sinful manner, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse. We're going to hit that point. But the brother is asking that what we see from this, to take this gift back in other than a manner that is pleasing for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and away from sin, is not permissible. And that is from the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, if the women out of their own desire, without being forced or compelled or coerced, to give you the gift, and they give it to you, then you can accept it. Here, as some of the ulama, they mention that it shows that it's not permissible for the man to take the mahar, the sadaq, or the dowry that he gave to the lady, to take it back from her unjustly, except that she willingly gives it to him as a gift, and then it's permissible for him to take it from the sister. And also, the ulama, they mentioned that we see from this that the wealth of the ladies is their wealth. That the women, they have their wealth, and it's theirs, and they can do whatever they like with their money, of course, so long as it's halal, and this is for the men also. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's showing us that the women, if they like, they can give a gift to their husband, and that gift could be the sadaq, the mahar, or the dowry that he gave to her. And that if she gives it to him, that he can take this, and it's permissible for him to take it. And that this isn't like he's being, what the Prophet ﷺ said, you give a gift and then you take it back. No, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing you that it's permissible if they gave it back to you, that you can take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also showing us that the women are the ones who own their wealth, and that they are in control of it, and that they can use it in a halal manner as they see fit, and no one can force them to do it with their wealth what someone else wants them to do with their wealth. But that is theirs, and they can do with it what they choose to do with their wealth. After this point, some of the ulama, they add, as we have mentioned previously, that if a parent gave the child a gift, that it was permissible for the parent to take that gift back. Is it permissible if the lady gives her husband a gift, can she take it back from her husband? The Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi, rahimahullah, he says that if the lady was not forced to give the gift, but she gave it out of her goodness of her heart, then she can't take that gift back. As the Prophet ﷺ only made the exception for the parent with the child. If the wife gave the husband a gift out of the goodness of her own heart, and then later on changed and wanted to take that gift back, then it's not permissible for her to take that gift back, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't make this as an exception. Though some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that it was okay. The Shaykh Mustafa al-Aidawi, and this seems to be closest to the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, he said if the lady was forced or convinced to give up something of her wealth, not from the goodness of her own heart to give it up, but she was convinced or forced to, then it is permissible for her to take it back, as she didn't give it up out of the goodness of her own heart, but she was forced into giving it up, and then she has the right to take it back. And this sometimes happens when the women are upset or whatever. They say, well, he took my money anyway. And you say, no, you gave me that money. He said, no, I didn't really give it to you. The way you asked him, sister, well, listen, just give me the money. Don't you see I'm having a hard time? But, you know, help your husband out, you know. And he speaks to her in a manner that makes her feel bad if she doesn't give up the money. And then when he gives up the money, later on the real her is going to come out if there's an argument or something. And she says, nah, and he even took my money unjustly. And then the husband is going to argue, I didn't take it, you gave it to me. I didn't give you nothing. You was all on me for the money, and that's why I gave you. Here the Shaykh, Hafizullah, is saying if that sister didn't give that money from the kindness of her own heart, just willingly wanting to give her husband a gift, then she has the right to take that back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, Hafizullah, is Al-Mar'atu Tahibu Yawmaha Lidurratiha, that a lady gives up her day to her co-wife. That a lady gives up her day, the right of her day, her husband being with her, to her co-wife. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, who says, حدثنا حبان بن موسى أخبرنا عبد الله أخبرنا يونس عن الزهري عن عروة عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد سفرا أقرع بين نسائه فأيتهن خرج سهمها خرج بها معه وكان يقسم لكل امرأة منهن يومها وليلتها غير أن سودة بنت زمعة
وهبت يومها وليلتها لعائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تبتغي بذلك رضا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In this hadith is authentic. وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he wanted to travel, he would allow his wives to draw lots, and that whoever won, he would travel with her, and that for the rest of his wives, or his wives in general, he would divide the time up, each one of them one day and one night, except for Sauda bin Zam'a. She gave her day and her night to Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she wanted to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And this is, as we know, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu loved Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha more than he did the rest of his wives. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sick, that she gave her day to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the Prophet would be pleased. She gave her day to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or to the Prophet to use with Aisha radiallahu anha. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, also in the same chapter of a lady giving up her day to her husband, it's also under the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, concerning the ayah, وَإِنَّ امْرَأَةً تَخَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَابًا قالت هي المرأة تكون عند الرجل لا يستكثر منها فيريد طلاقها ويتزوج غيرها فتقول له أمسكني ولا تطلقني ثم تزوج غيري فأنت في حل من النفقة علي والقسمة لي فذلك قوله تعالى فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير. And this is authentic. وعائشه رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said concerning the ayat, if a lady fears that her husband is against her, or is turning away from her, meaning leaving her hanging, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said concerning this ayah that this is a lady whose husband doesn't like to be with her often, and it seems that he wants to divorce her and to marry someone other than her. So the lady would say to him, keep me and don't divorce me. You can marry someone else, and then you could provide for me and spend your time with me as you like. And this is as the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there is no harm against the husband and the wife, the two parties, if they come to an agreement between themselves, and an agreement is good, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So here we see, as the Shaykh brings, hafizahullah, a part of giving a gift. A wife could give the gift of her day and night to her co-wife, as we saw with this example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the tafsir of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha concerning this ayat, where a husband is seems to be turning away from his wife or wanting to divorce her so that he can marry someone else. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, hafizahullah, حق المرأة على الإهداء لجارتها وقبول الهدية وإن قلت. The encouragement for the women to give gifts to their women neighbors, and to accept the gift from their neighbors, even if it is a small gift. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا نساء المسلمات لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها ولو فرسنا شات. And this hadith is authentic, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O Muslim women, do not look down on a hoof of a sheep given to you as a gift from your neighbor. O Muslim women, do not look down on your neighbor who gave you a hoof, a sheep hoof, as a gift. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is encouraging on one hand the women to give a gift, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing even a sheep's hoof, that whatever you have to give, give some gift to your neighbor. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the women to give gifts to their neighbors, and that it doesn't make a difference, whatever you have to give, give it as a gift to your neighbor. On the other hand, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us to accept that gift no matter how small it is. Don't look down on your sister and say, she gave me a bottle of vinegar as a gift. And they say, would you be happy if somebody gave you a bottle of vinegar? Anyone who's trying to give a gift, whether it's a loaf of bread or half a loaf of bread or what have you as a gift, then we should be thankful and to accept that gift and not to look down on that sister, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam has showed us in this hadith. And we also see, alhamdulillah, the beauty of Islam, and that Islam is easy, and that we don't have to be burdened with that which the disbelievers are about to burden themselves as they're saving all of their money up for Christmas. And that people go crazy trying to give the biggest gift to their children and to each other on this Christmas, and that people are sad if they don't get the biggest gift, and so on and so on. And so forth. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to be happy and satisfied with whatever gift we get. Whatever gift someone gives us, to be happy and to be satisfied with it, and don't look down on that person who gave you that gift. But that this is the way that we become closer to one another by giving these gifts. And that the Messenger of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to give these gifts, as we're saying, to give them no matter how small they are, and to accept them no matter how small these gifts are. And this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it seems as if the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is addressing the women more so than the men, as the women, they are the ones with the love for the dunya and these gifts more so than the men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We also see that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh is adding from the Surah Al-Zalzala, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, that whoever does an atom's weight of good would see it, meaning would see its reward with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that there's no gift, a keychain or smaller or bigger, that you can give to your sister in Islam or your brother in Islam, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for that good. So don't think that there's something so small of good that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala won't reward you for in the hereafter. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam also taught us in the authentic hadith, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة, I command you to fear Allah even if you only have to give a piece of a date. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If someone came to give you as a gift one date, here sister, this is for you and your family, dates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat dates, and to encourage the believers to eat dates, and to encourage us always to have dates in our houses, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, which the meaning is, a house without dates is a house of hungry people, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by that hadith. Just to go give one date to a person, and maybe you want to give to as many of your neighbors as you could, each one of them a date, that no one should look down on this or to despise it, but to cut it up and give all of the family members a piece of the date, so that everyone could share in the gift that was given to them, and that we shouldn't look down on this. As in America, we become accustomed to the extravagance, and we don't see, or we don't reflect back to the times of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where people weren't as extravagant as they are nowadays. If someone, as I remember, the sheikh, one of the sheikhs was given the example, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, when we have guests, to serve from the right and go around. The sheikh was mentioning that nowadays, if you invite anyone over, everyone would get something to drink. And that there's no such thing as when your company comes over, five or six brothers, you pour a large glass and you give it to one, and then everybody gets a drink. People would feel insulted. But this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah, and this is what he taught us to do. To give it to the right, and then he takes his share, and then and maybe everyone doesn't even get some. And this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But nowadays, we give everybody some. So we shouldn't, because this has become the custom or the habit, because of this extravagance and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we shouldn't belittle the gifts of the poor who can only give a little. We should be just as grateful and thankful and accepting these gifts as we would accept any other gift. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in another narration of Imam al-Tabarani, and it's authentic, inshallah, Ya Nisa al-Nabiyyi tahadu walau firsina shat fa'innahu yunbitu al-muwadda wa yuzhibu al-dagha'im. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O wives of the Prophet, I command you to give gifts, even if it's only a sheep hoof, because indeed giving gifts grows love in the heart and it removes hatred. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here in this hadith is encouraging the women, his wives in specific, and the other women in general, and then the rest of the believers to give gifts, as giving gifts and it grows love in the hearts of the believers and it removes the hatred in our hearts. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, hafizahullah, is al-isti'aratu lil-arusi 'inda al-bina. Loaning the, what do you call it, the lady that's about to get married.
The bride.
Loaning the bride or something at the time that she's going to get married. Loaning the bride something at the time that she's going to get married. And here, in the Shaykh, he didn't mention it, but it seems that he's showing that this loaning of something is a type of giving a gift, though it's not a permanent one, but you use it and benefit from it the time that you have to borrow it, and it's a type of giving a gift, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says, حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا عبد الواحد بن أيمن قال حدثني أبي أيمن قال دخلت على عائشة رضي الله عنها وعليها درع قطر ثمن 5 دراهم فقالت ارفع بصرك إلى جاريتي انظر إليها فإنها تزهى أن تلبسه في البيت وقد كان لي درع على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلما كانت امرأة تقين بالمدينة إلا أرسلت إلي تستعيره. And this is authentic. Ayman, he said, I entered upon Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها, and she had on a thick cotton dress, and it cost 5 dirham. And I don't know what the value of that is. At any rate, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said to him, take a look at this young girl of mine. I want you to look at her, because indeed she is beautifying herself with this dress that I had in her house. That she beautifies herself with this dress in her house in a manner that almost makes her feel arrogant from the beauty of that dress. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that I used to have a dress during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there was almost no time where a lady wanted to beautify herself for her husband and to put on her nice jewelry in the city of Medina, except that she would send someone to me to borrow that dress. So here we see Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha showing that some of the sisters, they have some nice pieces of clothing, and that any of the women who may be a little poor or may not have the ability to afford such fine clothing that if they had the chance to wear it every now and then, you could imagine how they looked. And maybe the closest thing to our mind is the story of Cinderella, where she had, you know, the poor lady, she had the chance to dress up and look nice. And that this is from Islam, as we see Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha showing. Of course, the women aren't going to do it in a degrading manner to the other women. Oh, sister, you can't afford nothing like that? Why don't you wear mine? Not like that, but you know the sisters can loan things in a nice manner to be friendly to one another, so that it would be nice like it was during the time of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when none of the sisters felt any shame to go to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and say, today I want to really hook myself up for my husband. You know that dress that you got that everybody knows, let me put it on so I can go pretty myself up for my husband. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would lend that dress out to the sisters like that. So here the Shaykh hafizahullah, he's showing that it is permissible to lend a fine dress to the sisters so that they can beautify themselves for their husband, whether it's the new bride or other than that.
I don't know what it means.
The brother is saying that nowadays that the Christians, they find this, especially on the wedding gown, to pass it down and what have you. Because of this, is this imitating the kuffar? The Shaykh, he brings it, and I'm going to stand on that which the Shaykh hafizahullah brought, that we have more right to practice that which our salaf practice and to mix what the disbelievers are doing. Because sometimes they may do something that's good. As you know, they have the custom of smiling and shaking hands nowadays. This is from Islam. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught the believers to shake hands when they meet. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us to shake hands when we meet one another, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that when our hands separate, that the sins of both parties, they fall off, just like the leaves fall off the tree and the wall. So even though the disbelievers, they make it a custom now, how you doing, Bob, and to shake your hand or what have you, that this is definitely from the custom of Islam. And though the disbelievers do it, we still continue in doing what we do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Those last two chapters of borrowing the dress or borrowing something or lending something out, and then the encouragement of the women to give gifts no matter how small it is. The women, they have to make sure that they don't despise the other women. And you know that there's a way that you can give a cheap gift in a way to despise the other women. Like to say, you only worth this $2 gold, fake gold necklace or something like that. Her sister, you want a gift? You know, you have the sister, she may be wearing her finest gold, 21 carat, she got on hides or something. And then she gives the sister and say, I was just listening in the class, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is encouraging the believers to give gifts, and here's a gift. And you know how that cheap jewelry look, and then the sister she has, and she has all her friends with her finest jewelry on. You can imagine how the sister would feel in that setting from that gift. And this is just an example that I'm saying for myself, but the sister should know, you know, to stay away from doing this lending or giving gifts, no matter how small it is, in a manner that would embarrass the sisters or belittle them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, hafizahullah, is Al-Mar'atu tahdi lil-rajuli 'inda amn al-fitna wa kadhalika al-rajulu yahdi lil-mar'a. That a lady can give a gift to a man, meaning other than her husband, so long as the situation is safe from any type of fitna. And the same thing, a man can give a gift to a lady other than his wife, so long as it's free from any fitna. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu ma qala, أهديت أم حفيد خالة ابن عباس رضي الله عنهم إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قطا وسمنا وضبا، فأكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأقط والسم وترك الأضب متقذرا، فقال ابن عباس فأكل على مائدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو كان حراما ما أكل على مائدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, Hufayth, who was the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, she gave a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of some wheat or barley and salmon, and I think they call salmon ghee. Yeah, a certain type of butter, if that's close to it. And I forgot what a dubban is. At any rate, she gave this to the Prophet ﷺ, and he ate from the barley and from the ghee, but he didn't eat this adab, as he didn't like it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that it was eaten on the plate of the Messenger, at the table spread of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if it was haram, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have not let it been eaten on his on his table spread. Here we see that the Shaykh is establishing that this lady is not the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that she gave a gift to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he accepted the gift of the lady and he ate it, alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad. So here, if there's no fitna that the lady isn't trying to come on to the man or something like that, then it's permissible to give gifts, as we see from this example. I was going to mention that the brother's asking, is this sister giving the gift directly to the person himself or through someone? As we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it didn't say whether she gave it directly to him or not. And we're taking into consideration this statement. Of the Shaykh, so long as there's no chance of fitna. And for sure, if a man gave another man a gift to give to his wife, he wouldn't be able to do that, except that there wouldn't be any type of fitna. You know, two men, they're kind of cool. Maybe he had mentioned, yeah, my wife loved that cheesecake. All right, we were going to get cheesecake for ourselves. And then the brother said, Akhi, here's a slice for your wife. You know, you said you like that. Okay, we can see, inshallah, in this situation, it would be free from fitna. The brother had mentioned, yeah, my wife likes that kind of something. And then you were treating the brothers, and you got him and his wife. So maybe the brother, inshallah, he wouldn't see any harm. Not like you're trying to come on to his wife or something like that, but you were just doing something kind. So it would seem that it would be more, it would be farther away from fitna if it didn't go directly to her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but the people have to use their best judgment on the situation to make sure that it's going to be free from fitna. And not to say afterwards, oh, I didn't know it was going to be some fitna. I just saw your wife walking down the street and I thought that this $3,000 gold bracelet, she'd like it or something. I mean, subhanallah al-azim, you don't even know the brother, you know? I mean, what, you know, and then say, Akhi, what you all upset? You know, this is permissible so long as there was no fitna. I ain't seen no fitna. It ain't like I'm trying to. Anyway, we should have to use our judgment, you know, in doing things so that we don't cause fitna in the community. We also see from this hadith, and this is just something added, that Abdullah ibn Abbas added, though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't eat that thing, it's not haram because it was eaten at the table of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and he wouldn't have let it be eaten in front of him if it was haram, except that he would have explained. Oh yeah, inshallah ta'ala, jazakallahu khairan. The brother is mentioning that this is lizard. And I forgot, as the word usually, now I'm seeing that this is the plural, and the word is usually more commonly heard by myself in the singular, that this is the lizard. The Arabs, they eat lizards. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't eat lizards because he didn't like it. But it's permissible to eat lizards. And here we see that not everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do is haram. Not everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do is haram. And brothers, sometimes they're quick to say, did the Prophet do that? No, the Prophet didn't do that, see? As if that's the verdict to make that thing haram. No, it's not a verdict necessarily to make something haram because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam didn't do it. But we have to have a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that thing, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that thing or discouraged it. But just because he didn't do it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in itself isn't necessarily sufficient to show that something is haram, as we see from this example where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't eat it, but he allowed it to be eaten. And if it was haram, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would have explained. The next hadith is also by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أوتي بطعام سأل عنه أهدية أو صدقة فإن قيل صدقة قال لأصحابه قلوا ولم يأكل وإن قيل هدية ضرب يده صلى الله عليه وسلم فأكل معهم. Let's bring that hadith next and take the other hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also from Imam al-Bukhari, where he said radiallahu anhu, أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِلَحْمٍ فَقِيلَ تُصَدِّقْ عَلَى بَرِيرَ قَالَ هُوَ لَهَا صَدَقَةٌ وَلَنَا هَدِيَّةٌ. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that some meat was given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, is this sadaqa? It was said, give this as sadaqah to Barira. They said, no, this is her sadaqah, and it is sadaqah from her and a gift to us. Here we see that Barira is a lady, and she gave this gift to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a gift of meat. And that this is an example from the Shaykh also showing the same thing that the other hadith showed, that if a lady gave a man a gift, then it is permissible so long as the situation is free from any fitna. And then the next hadith that we have mentioned, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he was given any food, he would question, is this a gift or is it sadaqah? If it was sadaqah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to his companions, you eat it. And then he wouldn't eat it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it was said it is a gift, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would motion with his hands, eat it, and showing everyone else, come on and eat with me. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here the Shaykh is showing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accept a gift from anyone if it was a gift. But the Prophet ﷺ would accept the gift if it was from anyone. And just for the point, the Prophet ﷺ didn't accept sadaqah. And this was a sign that he was a prophet, as the Prophet ﷺ didn't accept sadaqah, but that they accepted gifts. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't remember the ayah right offhand. I know the issue, but let me bring it up when I have the ayah. At any rate, it means to give sadaqah and come to the Prophet.
Okay.
The Shaykh, he's adding also from this hadith, where it's general, where the food was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh is saying that he's using this hadith in general to say that whoever gives a gift to whoever, it is permissible, whether it's a man to a lady or a lady to a man or a man to a man and a lady to a lady, that it is permissible so long as everyone is safe from any fitna taking place. And that if someone sends any type of fitna, then they should use their cautions, that they should take their precautions. This is what we have to offer today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some brothers had wanted me to mention to the sisters that they said that there has been some fitna taking place among the sisters. And that is that some of the sisters are being harsh towards the other sisters, either by speaking in the class or talking loud so that other sisters can't hear the lesson, or that some of the sisters are just harsh on the other sisters in general, always trying to tell them, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, being too harsh with the sisters and trying to teach the sisters Islam. This is just a general advice for the sisters, as it is for the brothers, that we have to use some type of wisdom when we want to help teach people some Islam, and not to be so forceful and necessarily so direct in order to chase people away from the deen of Islam. Do you want people to run away from Islam after they have entered into Islam? When the people have come to Islam and they come to the masjid, then we should try to be patient and work with them. And I remember one of our sheikhs saying, as the people were saying, that's your brother sheikh? He don't even got a beard. And you work with him? So the sheikh was saying, you see my brother, he's coming out of the masjid with me. And that nowadays, we are in the days where the Muslims don't even go to the masjid. And that if a Muslim is going to go to the masjid, at least you should give them the benefit of the doubt. Try to work with them, try to be patient with them, not to be so forceful and so harsh with them, because really people don't even come to the masjid. And this is the Shaykh talking in the land of the Muslims, in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much more outside of that. So really we should take into consideration that people come to the masjid because they're Muslims. People come to the masjid because they want to be Muslim. People come to the masjid because they love Islam more so than the rest of those weak Muslims who don't even come to the masjid to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as they have been commanded. So this is a general advice for the sisters to take it easy on the other sisters and try to be polite with one another. Some of the sisters have complained that last week I was a little too harsh by calling one of the sisters stupid for the question that I had come to me, that she left the house of her husband because they were considering divorce, and then when she walked out on him, she realized she was pregnant. Now she wanted to know, well, what's her situation? And I said that is stupidity, or she was stupid because she left the house. Maybe I was a little too harsh, even though I think that the situation called for it. I hope that the sister doesn't feel offended and that she overlooks my shortcomings. What if there is a situation where a kafir relative is planning to leave a Muslim in their will after they die? Is it permissible for the Muslim to accept this money? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, Al-Muslimu la yarithu al-kafir, wal-kafiru la yarithu al-Muslim. That a Muslim doesn't inherit from a kafir, and a kafir doesn't inherit from a Muslim. This is inheritance. The other thing, wasiyah, and I think they call it endowment or something. At any rate, it's if a person is dying, they want to leave as a gift to someone such and such. When I die, I'm going to give my piano to such and such. This isn't the inheritance of it. This is just a gift. I'm giving off this as a gift to so and so. Whoever gives you off a gift, kafir or Muslim, you can accept that. But the actual inheritance, the dividing of the estate for the inheritors to get such and such, it's not permissible for the Muslim to inherit from the kafir or the kafir to inherit from the Muslim. However, if it's this type, like it seems like they might be leaning towards this, as a Kafir relative is planning to leave a Muslim in their will something. This will, if you want to say it's the wasiyah, and I don't know the language that good, the English, outside of what I heard, the endowment and the inheritance, but in Islam it's real clear in Arabic, from the fariba and from the wasiyah, the inheritance and this endowment. At any rate, if you give it as a gift, it's permissible to accept it, and if it's from the inheritance or the dividing of the state giving it, then it's not permissible to accept it from a kafir. So if the kafir wants to leave you something, tell him to leave it to you as a gift and not a part as the inheritance, and then it's perfectly permissible for the Muslim to take that. Yeah, this goes both ways. This goes both ways. Is it related to this? Well, ask this then, Akhi. Everybody wants a secret question.
Oh, I remember when I had asked Caliph Abdullah about the character. Caliph Abdullah explained that the will is the person saying that I'm giving you this as a gift, and that is not something that when I die, because you and my family, it's just going to go to me. Because if it's just going to go to me, that's the inheritance. But the will, when I say that this is my money that's going to you, that I've freely given up to you, and that's the gift.
Is there anything from that statement different from what we just said?
Yeah, you know, by the way that you explained it, this gives me that question.
Huh?
I didn't understand it that way.
Huh?
I didn't understand it that way.
What is the will? A gift, or it's the inheritance? That's why I said, I understand what he's saying. The brother, he's gonna decide it and make the will the inheritance. And I know some people are going to take the will to be the gift. That's why I said I didn't want to get into that. In Arabic, it's clear. Because Allah already, nobody has no say-so in who's going to inherit what Allah laid it out. When you die, you ain't got to tell nobody how to divide your inheritance up. Allah already decided that, and nobody has the choice to have anything what to say in it. And that you are, it's only permissible for you to give away a third of your wealth. So the first thing that's going to happen is your inheritance is going to be taken care of. And then if you have a third left over, then you can, that can be given to whoever you want to give it to. This is in Islam. That's what I'm saying, those kafirs, I don't know what it is. That inheriting is not permissible, and the giving is permissible. So the people, however they understand that will to be either inheriting or a gift or whatever the person meant, then if it's an inheritance, it's not permissible. And if it's a gift, then it's permissible. So however somebody wants to interpret the will, they can interpret it. In Arabic, when you write out the will, that's the gift to the people, as Allah has already laid out the inheritance. But here with the kufar, I don't know what they do. I don't know the laws of, you know, what the people have, but I know you don't inherit from a kafir, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and a kafir doesn't inherit from the Muslim. Is it permissible to accept a gift that, don't be so specific, be general. Is it permissible to accept a gift? Yes. If somebody gives you a gift that's haram, should you accept it? That's what you're asking? No, you shouldn't accept it if it's haram. Silk is permissible.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like the brothers asking, suppose somebody gives a man silk. Permissible. Silk is permissible, and it's permissible for the man to accept that gift. Because silk isn't just haram. It's just haram for men to wear it. But it's not haram in itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.